Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black, yarn up strong and have you say, you mob. Now, brand new data highlights deep concerns about what is happening to charities at a local and national level in Australia. A major new report from the Community Council of Australia, CCA, which represents charities and non-profits across the country, has been released. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn with David Crosby, Community Council for Australia's CEO. And got David online. David, good morning. How are you? Oh, David's not there. We'll try and get David back and continue that yarn, a very important space. It's a massive sample size of 4,601 representative voters were polled about a range of issues. The sample has revealed there's deep concern about what is happening to charities on a national and local level. And Community Council for Australia CEO David Crosby says many charities are being absolutely swamped, and rising costs and increased cost of living issues, as well as endless red tape. Look, we'll try again with David, see if we've got David on the line. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Trevor.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Where are you based, David?
I'm actually in a place called Wambara on the coast south of Sydney.
All right, beautiful. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about a brand new data highlights deep concerns about what is happening to charities at a local and national level in Australia. So we're talking about a gap that's widening there, David.
Well, we're talking about charities really not getting the attention they deserve. And at the moment, charities are really incredibly important in Australia. They employ 1.4 million Australians, which is, it's more than retailing.
Sure, yes.
And most people are involved in charities in one way or another. Over 90% either donate to charities or volunteer with charities or receive services from charities. And 98% of the 4,600 people we asked saw charities as very important.
Yes. So what would be the cause of the concerns that's happening with charities at a local and national level?
Well, I reckon there's a couple of things. The first is that the charities aren't great at advocating for themselves.
Mm.
So, you know, if an Indigenous housing group is at a pre-election forum with potential candidates, you know, they're not going to stand up and say, we need more money in our organisation to deal with cyber security or staff training or vehicles or increased costs. They're going to say, we need more Indigenous housing.
Sure.
So when we stand up to advocate as charities, we advocate for our communities and for our causes. We don't advocate for ourselves. In that same meeting, there'll probably be someone from a small business.
Mm.
And the small business guys will get up and say, you know, we need tax deductibility for being able to buy things or lower tax rates. They'll advocate for themselves. And so they should. That's part of the role. But we don't advocate for ourselves. So I think that's one of the big problems.
Sure. So we probably need to change the terminology or have a different platform when we're speaking in that sense, or educate our mob and get in promoting the fact?
Well, what happens is I think politicians know it's really good for their careers to be connected to community groups and charities. So they'll join and they'll go along to meetings and stuff, and they'll say how good the charity is, and you know, but there'll be no real commitment of additional funding for that charity. There'll be no real, you know, commitment to actually create something at a federal level that could support charities. I mean, we don't have a single Commonwealth bureaucrat whose role it is to monitor how well charities are doing in Australia, or to help promote their improved effectiveness or productivity. So, you know, even though we employ 1.4 million Australians, we don't have a home in government. We have we don't have an ombudsman. We don't have a department. We don't have anything. And sometimes, I mean, we feel like, you know, we're the cute kid that walks up to the grown-ups sitting at a dinner table, and all the grown-ups tell us how cute we are and how wonderful and clever and creative, and then, you know, they give us an iPad to go and sit in the corner while they all enjoy dinner.
Pat on the head.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And so we're saying, you know, maybe you should implement. There's been 160 recommendations about how they could improve charities from the Productivity Commission, from Senate inquiries, from expert panels. And of those 160, 21 have been put in place.
David, so, I'm thinking of the mentality that government would look at charities, and the people out there will help the charities. So they don't need government support. That's the mentality I'm picking up.
Yeah. Mm. Not only that, but, you know, because it's a strength of charities that they're committed to their purpose, but because we're so committed, if someone comes along and says, you know, we'll give you 70% of the funding you need to run that housing service, we'll say, great.
Good.
We'll take the 70%. And somehow we'll get by without the other 30% we need. And so we're forever cutting into ourselves to provide the services our communities need. And, you know, it's something that, you know, a big business wouldn't do. They'd say, look, the cost of running this service is X dollars. You pay us X dollars or we won't do it. Whereas charities say, look, if you can give us some money towards it, we'll try and make it work.
Sure.
And I think it's that commitment to trying to support our communities that sometimes costs us. You know, if you're a small business, you get help with, you know, putting in better cybersecurity systems, or, you know, training your staff, or doing an energy transition, or some kind of climate adaptation program. You know, there'll be funds available and tax deductions, and you want to invest in a new building or new vehicles, it's all tax deductible. If you're a charity and you want to do any of those things, you got to find the money for it, because no one's supporting those things. And when they do support charities, they'll often support them for the work they do, but they don't actually support the charity itself to enable it to be strong enough to do really good work.
Look, we've picked up this literature in regarding the situation that charities, local and national level, came to our table. Hence is our phone call and my yarn here with you today. We have a national program. Our government do listen to our yarns. So here's another avenue, you could say, another platform, another vehicle in promoting the work that you guys do, and the money that's required. So probably need to look at different ways, David, to put the word out there, so to speak, yes, in different avenues, different platforms.
And we need to actually advocate for ourselves.
Yes.
Not just our cause. And we need to say to politicians who are saying, oh, look, you're really good, you do really good work.
Pat on the back.
We need to say, well, you know, our organisation needs funding, charities need funding as well.
Yes.
You know, and not be so embarrassed to stand up for trying to get money for your own organisation. Because that's what we do, you know. If you're from an Indigenous housing group, you're going to advocate for housing, not for your own organisation.
So in actual fact, charities need support as well. To look after the charities, look after people, look after all the different avenues out there, all the different platforms. Use this as the hub. Invest in its investment, not an expense. Invest in this space. And you become like a 12-pronged spear is what I'm picking up.
Yeah. The more we invest in charities, the more capacity they have.
Yes.
And if they have more capacities and they're more secure, they can do better work.
Exactly.
But if you're trying to do work with, you know, inadequate tools and not the resources you need, then you're just vulnerable.
Exactly. Well, thank you for your yarn. We've spoken, and please do keep in touch. And how can people help in regards to your space or have more money? Well, I keep supporting all charities, of course. How else can they help?
And don't be afraid to stand up when they're saying how much they like a charity, saying, well, how much money are you going to give them?
Sure.
How much support are you going to give them? What structures are you going to put in at a federal level to support charities? Because at the moment, we've really got nothing.
Yep. All right. Lovely. David, thank you very much.
I really appreciate it.
Good yarn. All the best to your team. We'll be in touch. You keep smiling. Take care, my friend.
Okay. Bye, man.
Bye-bye. There it is. David Crosby, his name is, Community Council for Australia CEO, and talking about the brand new data highlights deep concerns about what is happening to charities at a local and national level in Australia. So support the charities as such. The government organisations need to do that, whether it be local or three levels, local, federal and state. Invest in the charities, and like I said, they'd be able to tackle more avenues in regard to that space. So it is a ripple effect. So there it is, food for thought. Have you say yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Arabians, that's Fred and Richard Kiwat, and a big shout out to all my family there. We're Dunley Island, Arab, and that's all my connections from my mother with me in spirit, Mum, and the Dunley Island Salapit mob. So thank you very much. And my father's side, all the 1 year Gunga leader, there were Dumuji and Mornington Island, and Murray from the Curry. Your host here for your daily program, National Talk Black. Hope you volume mob. This is your daily program. 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call if you've got something to say. Get off your chest. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Let's look at headline news here. ABC News, Aboriginal entrepreneurs harness traditional knowledge to start businesses. Growing up, a Bukanji and a Mullingupai man, David Doyle, would hear the stories and customs of his Indigenous ancestors, but he did not think much of it. What he could not have imagined at the time was the business potential of the ancient knowledge. The now 46-year-old said he was lucky to spend a lot of time with elders of his Aboriginal community in outback New South Wales. I got to travel around quite a lot, and a lot of that time was spent fishing, camping, learning what people used to eat or use as medicine before colonisation, Mr. Doyle said. And I didn't take much notice when I was a kid, but growing up, I now realise I could benefit from that. For example, when I got enzema, when I turned about 40, I decided that I needed to do something about the conventional medicines. The steroid creams I was getting weren't helping a great deal. So recalling treatments from his childhood, Mr. Doyle began using native plants that grow in far west New South Wales, including Erythrophila and Longifolia, also known as emu bush, which can be used as skin conditions. He started incorporating the plants into soaps and creams and soon realised their potential as a commercial product. I started giving it away to family and friends, and of course they started giving it away and people started asking for it. And he says, here's an opportunity. Mr. Doyle makes the products himself in his Broken Hill backyard using ingredients gathered from his people's traditional lands near Miendi, and sells them online. He has also explored the other commercial ways of using traditional knowledge by running on country Aboriginal guide tours in the Miendi region, where he speaks about native plants and their uses. It's something I've never really looked towards as something I wanted to expand on, he says, but it's probably one of the things now that I really enjoy, sharing plant knowledge and traditional uses, as well as how we can contemporarily use this now in modern day so that we're still connected to culture, connectivity to country, and paying it forward. So there it is, entrepreneur in the making. As I always said, that we as First Nation people, we are wealthy just being black. Just got to get proactive and get our skin in the game. And there, big shout out, David Doyle, doing what he's doing best, using his culture and turning to business. There you go, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. There it is, have your say. Bring the entrepreneurship to the surface, you mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Human freedom's fundamental, and justice ain't right. Equality's that thin line between wrong and right. When the earth is denuded, her creatures oppressed, then justice and freedom are put to the test. We say freedom, freedom will come. Welcome freedom,
welcome freedom.
Justice, justice will come. Welcome justice, freedom, equality, justice. I want it. We resist injustice, and freedom will come. Freedom will come. Welcome freedom,
welcome freedom.
Justice. Justice will come. Welcome justice. Savages keep the oppressed so poor. Resistance will break the stealth eagle's claw. Peace is much more than the absence of war.
The man, the child, the mother earth, the land, the law, the living sun, the creatures and the living plants, all cry out as one, they chant freedom.
Freedom, welcome. Welcome, freedom. Justice. Reach out for peace
this human love. I call for brothers and sisters, shed generations of blood. Freedom will triumph, justice endure, when we struggle united against every war.
The man, the child, the mother earth, the land, the law, the living sun, the creatures and the living plants, all cry out as one, they chant freedom.
Freedom, welcome. Welcome, freedom. Welcome, justice. Freedom, equality, justice. I want if we resist then justice. Freedom will come. Freedom will come.
Jenda Banapi Bamanda, Jenda Bakajanda Bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
In the sky, so far away, there is a place. from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild walnut tree grows? Are you from Forest Glade or any place, including Central Way? Any place is just around by Marty or Wade. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. The moon and stars that always shine out on the ocean wave. And when the lazy waves roll by, like breezes blowing, memories, oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow, out on the sea, it's always a place for me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, walnut tree grows? Are you from Torres Strait or any place, including Central Way? Any place is just around by Marty or Way. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, walnut tree grows? Are you from Torres Strait or any place, including Central Way? Any place is just around by Marty or Way. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI
too. Sometimes when this place gets kind of sound of the breath fades with the light. Think about loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtain down on thank you. quite peculiar. Something shimmering and white. It leads you here despite your destination. Under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you were looking for. Might have known what you would find under the Milky Way tonight. Under the Milky Way tonight. Under the
Australia, it's time to check your tech. The national 3G network is closing from the 28th of October. Your devices might not work when it's gone. From your phone to your smartwatch and your tablet, even personal emergency alarms, FPOS terminals and fire and security alarms. Check your tech so you and your family stay safe and connected. Visit 3gclosure.com.au and act before the 28th of October.
Station sponsor.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan. Or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
When the lugs all sailed away from Roebuck Bay that fateful day, the diver on the B-19 was Nakamura. Not yet 21, from the land of the rising sun, his homeland was the island Okinawa. In the deepest holes of the Lassa Beach shores, to fulfill the pearling master's goals, went the diver of the B-19, Nakamura. His quest for the lustrous pearl, as strong as his love for the beautiful girl, he quit when he returned to Okinawa. But it's goodbye now, farewell, say goodbye. For today they'll bury you in West Australia, and you will never be as one with the land of the rising sun. Sayonara, sayonara.
Yeah, the beautiful voice of Uncle Seaman Dan with us in spirit. Sayonara Nakamura here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn, yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20, Trevor Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Bib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, you're up now. Rising First Nation artist, Iconics, released her a debut album, and that's a Mulliawonk, a powerful cover of Archie Roach's iconic ballad, and the first from her up-and-coming album, Black on Track. That was out on March 21st, and via Skinny Fish Music. So with that, we're going to catch up with Yarn now with Iconics on the line. Iconics, good morning. How are you?
Not too bad.
How are you? I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before you start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
So my side is from Paul's Clay, and
Sorry, you're breaking up there. Come again, sorry, sister.
I'm from Cookshire up in East Kimberley.
Yes.
And my mother's side, and then my dad's side is in Tipi, in the Desert.
Beautiful, beautiful. Big shout out to your mob, and look, congratulations with your debut single. So we're talking about Uncle Archie Roach, iconic ballad. So tell us about the vision and the thought process in regarding this album, this single, please, sister.
So I started everything actually back when I was 12. So 5 years ago, I started writing songs. I recorded 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, within that space of time, I did Uncle Archie Roach's, where I did part of the music recording myself, so I played everything.
Yes.
And then I did as well a Dr. G Unipingu song, Maru.
Yes.
And then I got permission from Uncle Archie 2 weeks before he passed away.
I was just going to say, so you would have had conversation with Uncle Archie Roach before his passing, yes?
Yeah, so yeah. I sent my version to him. And he gave me to record and release.
Whoa, beautiful. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Look, strong in spirits. Got goosebumps here, my goosebumps. And we are storytellers. And whether we use artwork or dance, here you are using music. And when you talk about Uncle Archie Roach, he's an icon for our people and for the music world, especially here on the Big Island, Australia. So it's fantastic having that connection and that permission and that yarn and empowering you to debut single and with respect to him. So hats off to you, my sister.
Thank you.
So where are you performing this? Are you going to be on the road delivering? Is that the vision?
Yeah, definitely. Since that release, I've released my own album with all my own music.
Mm.
And I'm hoping to do some festivals soon.
Yes.
Definitely looking for places to perform.
Beautiful. Now, that's our debut single, Mulyawonk. Is that the right pronunciation?
Yeah, Mulyawonk.
Mulyawonk, okay.
Yeah.
Is there meaning to that word, sister?
From stories that I've heard, and don't quote me on this, but it's a river spirit from SA.
Yes.
And I think it was kind of like a protector of the river there on where we came from. But again, don't want me on that. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful. But the fact you got the thumbs up from Uncle Archie Roach, like I said, with us in spirit, fantastic. And here it is, you know. Have you always become like a songwriter? Have you always had that vision? Tell us your background there, sister.
Yeah, definitely. Music is massive in my life.
Yeah.
I don't think I go a day without music.
Yes.
And
you play musical instrument?
Yes, I play guitar and play piano.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so what about families, brothers and sisters, and what's the family's thought process in the work that you're doing? All thumbs up, all excited?
Oh, family is, very proud. My brother went the CD and that album and everything for his birthday present.
Yes.
Yeah. My family, they love my music and they've told me they're very proud.
Beautiful. Fantastic. And your name, Iconics, is that the right pronunciation and how do you spell that?
Yeah. Iconics, Iconyx.
And where's that word come from? Where's that name come from?
Originally, when I started performing, assuming it was onyx because of black gemstone.
Okay.
And then I realized that there's an American band with that name, and I didn't, you know,
yes.
want to get sued.
Chuck the eye
so,
in there.
I added
eye is me. Love it. Congratulations. Well, we've got Mulyawongs here now. We're going to play that. So I thank you for your yarn. All the best to you. Enjoy that journey. And like I said, with Uncle Archie Roach's spirit floating upon you, you know. So do enjoy the journey and make the family proud, make him proud. And beginning is half done. So congratulations. Thank you very much for your yarn, my sister. Stay strong and
Thanks,
big shout out to your family, okay?
Thank you.
You take care, darling. Bye-bye.
See ya.
A deadly yarn there. Beautiful yarn. Iconics, Indigenous artist, and released a powerful cover of Uncle Archie Roach's Mulyawonk, and announces her debut album. There it is. So we're going to play that now. Do enjoy it. And a big shout-out to Iconics, to Deadly. Yeah, beautiful track there. Iconics just had a beautiful yarn with Iconics and that deadly track there, Mulya Wonk, and a powerful cover of Uncle Archie Roach's iconic ballad, and the first from her upcoming album, Black on Track. So, too deadly. Thank you very much, Iconic. Congratulations. Enjoy the journey. And she from WA. Fantastic. Comes to the time where Trendy Trev signs off for today's program, you mob. Thank you for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. And that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. 24/7, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Thank you for your company, mob. Stay tuned. We've got the news coming up via NERS, National News Radio Service. Stay tuned for that. And a big shout out to the NERS team. Thank you. And a big shout out to First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, a deadly black network. And thank you for your company, your mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.